Thanks for listening to the best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to the best of the Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
The Dallas Cowboys, as we all know, go out with a whimper. In a year that they're expected to, at the very least, make the playoffs.
Are you shocked
by it? If not the Super Bowl. I'm not shocked because they're a circus. Now, I'm surprised. I did expect them to win that division and make the playoffs. But they are a circus. And anytime you're a circus, anything can happen. And so they've been that way for the last 25 years or so, really ever since Jerry Jones took over. Because even in the good years with Jimmy Johnson, Barry Switzer, they were a circus.
Yep. So it was always something going on.
Right. So he just brings that, and it's tough to, you know, to be consistent and win that way, as we've seen over the last 25 years since he got rid of Jimmy Johnson. And, you know, he had Barry Switzer with Jimmy J's players. But here's the deal. So everyone has expected Jason Garrett to get fired. Jason Garrett, 9.5 years with the Dallas Cowboys. We'll give him 9 full seasons. 3 times he made the playoffs. 3 for 9. That's good in baseball, Rob, but not football. Right?
So you're telling me that LeBron's championships aren't good. You just said 3 for 9 ain't good.
Well, those are championships.
No, I'm just asking. 3 for 9 isn't good.
No, it's good because it's 3 championships. But, you like to win more.
Right, okay.
No doubt about that. But 3 times you made the playoffs. If you told me Jason Garrett won 3 championships in 9 times, I'd be like, oh, that's fine. But 3 times making the playoffs in 9 years, 3 times winning seasons in, was it 4? It might be 4 winning seasons in his 9 years. And 4 seasons where he went 500, 8-8. He's essentially the epitome of mediocre. And so everyone is expecting him to be fired today. And instead, they meet at what was reportedly 12 noon Central Time. For hours, I guess they met. They walk out of the meeting together. And there's no announcement, and none is coming today.
Now,
this is madness, and the circus, Rob, continues.
Now, the only thing that I just saw from on NFL Network with Jane Slater, Rob G, tell me if you saw this as well.
That no announcement's coming today, right?
No. He told his coaches with expiring contracts to start to look elsewhere, and that everything will sort itself out in the next 24 to 48 hours. So he did tell coaches, like, start making calls for a job.
Well, there was another report.
That's
earlier.
The only thing I just saw, Rob G. I don't know if you saw that. Or
there was a report earlier from a broadcaster in the Dallas area.
Okay.
Who said that all of the assistants, who said the whole coaching staff had been fired.
Okay, so maybe that's okay.
And that it wasn't official yet, but that the whole staff had been fired. So that's probably,
so you know what that means then?
To what James said. Well, why are you waiting?
That just means that they're going to reassign and he's going to stay in the organization.
And I'm fine with that.
But that's what it is. But
it's not the best move, but okay, you can do what you want. But where are you going to make him a consultant? Make him a, I mean, I don't think he needs to be tied to like football.
No, but the problem, this
but
is the problem with the organization
what else
though.
Do?
This is the problem, Chris, is that
you're going to become a marketer.
but
you're right though. Go ahead.
But this is the problem is that you, whenever you get too close to people, right? You run in a mom and pop store, everybody's connected or right, have some cowboy ties. You hold on to people and you refuse to do what needs to be done, which is thank you very much. And you know this, Chris, he would have been fired years ago if it was a legit situation, or football
right.
situation, a legit one. It's
right.
just ridiculous that he was
there
able
were
to,
many opportunities.
Yes,
to fire
that he
him.
Would have been fired a long time ago. But Jerry Jones loved it because it was about him. if he could keep Jason Garrett there, right? It was like he was coaching. That's what he loved about it.
Yep. He cares more about having control.
Yes.
And being involved than winning. So stop talking about winning a Super Bowl. Stop talking about how much you want a Super Bowl. Because if you really wanted one, you're going to get credit as the owner. Right? I mean, when he bought the franchise and he fired Tom Landry.
You remember how big that was, man. That shook the earth.
Tom Landry was a legend.
I'll never forget that, man. That was like, wow. Yep,
that was huge. But eventually they came together and they won a Super Bowl. Well, obviously they won three, but let's say the first two under Jimmy Johnson. Now, we all gave, Jimmy Johnson got a lot of love. Obviously the players got a lot of love. But Jerry got love too.
Right.
It wasn't like people ignoring, like Robert Kraft. He doesn't do jack with the football team. I mean, maybe he has a little say with Brady. We get that. But, you know, he doesn't do anything. But does he get credit? Does he get credit when they win the Super Bowl?
Yes. Yeah. Owners always get credit because it's their money and they have to sign off on stuff. And I don't understand.
But that's not enough for Jerry.
But Jerry, why? And I get it. He played football and he just feels like he wants to be the same when they asked him if he's going to hire a general manager. He said, no, everything comes through me anyway. So he's telling you that he's going to continue doing what he's been doing, which hasn't worked. No one's man enough, nobody's big enough to tell him, hey, whether it's his son who has a job as well, you know what I mean, or somebody else in the organization to say, dude, step to the side. Hire football people.
You're right that nobody's, I guess, big enough, man enough, whatever, to do it. But you can't do it. Even if you do it, he don't have to listen.
No, I know, Chris. And
maybe somebody has said it to him. I guess he's got a good friend out there.
I'm just shocked that even the commissioner, I guess he can't do it because the last time with Ezekiel Elliott, he tried a coup on Goodell. So he can't really say anything. But I would just say to him, like,
well, and also,
dude,
Rob,
it's been 25 years. You got four playoff wins. Really?
Well, as far as the commissioner, though, they're not the train wreck that, say, the Knicks are. You know what I mean? Where, like, if Adam Silver talked to James Dolan about, hey, look, we got to figure something out.
Because the commissioner got involved with the Lions, you know that, when they
were.
And because
the thing,
of where they
so
are,
horrible.
Right. Exactly.
But the Cowboys, they're not that bad. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, they made the playoffs, what, two out of the last 4 years?
Right.
Won divisions. They're a circus, and they keep the league. I mean, the league would be in the spotlight anyway, but, you know, they're its biggest story. Every year, them and the Patriots. The Patriots for winning, the Cowboys for their crazy madness that goes on. But this, you're right, he's going to get reassigned. And I've thought about that all day, that's what this is.
That's
he's going to make
is.
Him something.
Right.
But then when you think about it, here's the thing, Rob. I mean, he's going to be in the football operations somewhere. Now, here's the thing. He apparently, you know, all the reports say Jason Garrett is highly, highly regarded throughout the league. So maybe he gets another job. That would surprise me. But maybe
I don't
he gets
see that at
job.
All. I would be stunned.
But you see the reports, right, about that. Like, people thinking he'll get a job right away and this and that. But that may keep him from working within the organization if he wants to get out and coach somewhere else. But let's say he is there in Dallas. How's that going to work? If he's in football operations, which again, where else, what else can he do? Unless you just give him a cushy consultant's job, but you can't have him anywhere near the football team. You can't.
I'm with,
because some players that like him may go to him.
Right. It doesn't make sense to keep him around in that situation. You could like somebody personally. He put in a long time there. You know what I mean? But you got to be afraid. Like, even who just got fired from Jacksonville? Tom Coughlin, right?
Right.
Now, the Giants could have given him a job forever, Chris, right? He won two Super Bowls in New York.
Yep.
Right? They could have just said, we'll give you a cushy job. We'll pay you X amount of dollars. You can just help us. No. After he was done coaching, right, he went somewhere else where he could be a boss. It didn't work out in Jacksonville, but you see my point?
Yep.
That's a guy you could have made an exception for, Chris, because he won two Super Bowls.
Right.
Jason Garrett didn't win anything. What are you holding on to him and keeping him around for? I don't get it.
Yeah, it's like you said, it's just Jerry's got his guys.
Right.
Because
Jason Garrett allowed Jerry to coach without coaching.
Yep. And now there's talk, I don't think you'll get it, but there's talk about Jason Witten. Some reporters have mentioned him.
That would be so ridiculous, Chris.
It would be terrible. And nothing against Jason Witten, but I just don't see anybody with no coaching experience being able to say, this isn't, with all due respect, the NBA or Major League Baseball.
Did you see how hard it was that with no TV experience to go do TV, to do live TV?
Well, even that, though,
no, I know,
not,
I'm not
comparable
I'm just,
to coaching an NFL team.
I'm not
team.
Saying that, but I'm saying he struggled doing that. Like,
right.
That's my point, is that that's not even that hard.
Right. No, it's just, I mean, you could do it in basketball or baseball. It's been done.
Right.
Football? No.
No, because it's totally different with schemes and
right.
coming up with all kinds of stuff. Totally.
And
different.
You're managing everything, like, and there's no way you can just step in and do that. This is a joke. This is a joke. Like, if you're getting rid of him, do it already. While other coaching candidates may be getting out. Ron Rivera apparently is gone. Apparently. And he's supposed to be going to Washington.
I guess it's just waiting to get the contract done, but I guess we'll wait and see. But it looks like it's a done deal.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Hall of Fame wide receiver Terrell Owens on the line. Terrell, what's happening, man?
T.O.
Hey, man. Happy holidays to you guys.
Yes, happy New Year.
Happy holidays, brother. Hey.
Yeah.
It's not a happy holidays down there in Dallas, obviously. What is your general take? I mean, there's a lot of specifics to get into. But when you watch this circus, what's your general take on what's going on down there?
Dude, this is not anything that I haven't spoken on. And I know a lot of people have, you know, witnessed me, you know, chime in on social media, whether it's Twitter or radio shows or what have you. But this goes all the way back to 2009, going into the 2010 season when I was released from the Cowboys. I had just signed a 4-year deal, $25 million deal, right after the 2009 season. And then, you know, ultimately I end up being released in the offseason. For whatever reason, like I said, I have no idea. But at the end of the day, Jerry Jones called me going into that offseason asking me my honest opinion. And I thought it was a heart-to-heart, you know, owner, player. He had just signed me to an extension about what can we do to get back, you know, to the winning tradition ways of Dallas Cowboy football. And so I was open and honest with my assessment, what had transpired during the course of that year and moving forward, looking forward to playing in Jerry's world. Obviously that didn't happen. But since then, I knew, obviously I was conspired against with Garrett, Romo, Witten. And my main problem was Jason Garrett. Again, like I said, he was a great offensive coordinator. When I was there, I think a lot of people know that when Wade Phillips was the head coach, he ended up ultimately getting Wade Phillips fired that year. We went 13-3. He ended up getting the head coaching job in 2009, which is my last year there. We weren't doing so well. And so, again, me being a veteran and understanding and knowing how to play the game, especially from a receiver standpoint, it's eerily similar as to what has transpired the last 9 to 10 years since I've left. You've heard Dez Bryant and others chime in on it. You've seen, and I have seen, just with his coaching leadership, guys haven't really bought into what he's trying to accomplish. Obviously, they haven't accomplished anything since 2009. If you look at, I think a week ago, when you have Amari Cooper, who's one of the best receivers, they traded for this guy. This guy's been playing lights out. To go into a game where it's fourth and whatever, And based on his assessment of how Amari Cooper had played, he doesn't put this guy on the field on a 4th-and-9 or whatever the case may be to ultimately, you know, obviously put yourself, your team, in a position to obviously get into the playoffs. You sit him on the sideline because of your assessment that he hasn't played well throughout the three quarters or whatever the game, course of the game. I reflect back on my third year in the league with the San Francisco 49ers. We're playing against Green Bay. I had a terrible game all the way up until the fourth quarter with 8 seconds left to go in the game. What if Coach Mariucci at that point takes me out of the game based on what I had done three quarters? I don't make that play. So that right. shows you really what kind of coach he is. And if you think about, again, their rivals, the Philadelphia Eagles, it's polar opposite when you look at the general makeup of the coaching and the players. When you look at the Dallas Cowboys, you see on that field a lot of talented players. But guess what is missing? Superior coaching. Go to the Eagles. You look at their makeup on the football field, not really a whole lot of talent, not as talented as the Dallas Cowboys talent. But what do they have? Superior coaching. So this is what has to change in order for these Dallas Cowboys to at least give them some breath of fresh air and start afresh, start anew.
Now, T.O., the problem is Jerry wants to be coach, and so he goes and gets guys who aren't that great as coaches so that he could dictate, and that's why Jason Garrett's been around almost 10 years, you know what I mean, in that job. So Jerry, to me, is the biggest problem with the Cowboys because he runs the operation like a mom-and-pop store, and he won't let football people, you know, who would stand up to him, he won't hire those guys. Am I off base?
You're right. It starts from the top down. And obviously, like you said, you got to give this guy some credit in order to have gotten this franchise where it has gotten.
Right.
But obviously, over the last
25 years.
Right, yeah. He has to look himself in the mirror and make some changes. He has to, you know, assess what he's doing as an owner. Obviously, the general manager is his son, Steven. There are some changes that they need to make, but the common denominator since I left since 2009 has been Jason Garrett. You think about, like I said, the talent that's on that roster. Anytime that I've talked about the Dallas Cowboys, I haven't criticized any of the players, although those guys need to make plays. But you only take on really the heartbeat of your head coach. And so, again, you've seen guys, I've seen the highlights. You know, you have guys walking by Jason Garrett. They don't respect him. They understand that, again, you know, he's not putting the players in the best position to play best position and for those guys to be successful. Just from the standpoint of, like I said, just mentioned a few minutes ago, you don't have Amari Cooper on the football field. It's 4th-and-9. That's one of your top players because of your assessment. Dude, this is not high school. This is not college. You don't just bench a guy because a guy is playing poorly. If that's the case, then Jerry needs to assess him and take that same sentiment, you know, same right. assessment with his coaching and get him up out of there, which I'm really hoping what happens here in the next couple of days. I have no good parting words for Jason Garrett. I hope Jerry boots him up out of there and let the door hit him with a good Lord split him.
Wow. Terrell Owens, Hall of Fame wide receiver, joining the Odd Couple. Terrell, Dez Bryant, I don't know if it was biased or what, but he's tweeted a lot about Jason Garrett and the Cowboys. He tweeted that Garrett has trouble relating to black players. I said at the time, I'm sure Dez still talks to people in that locker room, so it's not like he's just giving his own opinion. That's probably an informed opinion. What's your feeling on that?
I don't know. I mean, there were times when I was playing, I became very knowledgeable about playing the receiver position. I knew how guys were playing me. I knew what I possessed as a number one receiver. A lot of people, again, they basically criticized me and they said I was selfish, this, and that, and the other. bro, I was the farthest thing from being selfish. Like, bro, did I want the ball? Absolutely. Did the stats indicate or reflect when I got the ball in my hands that I made something happen? Yes, absolutely. When I was in San Francisco, the record reflected. It showed when I got my hands on the ball and I scored touchdowns, the chances of us winning were very high. It was the same way in Philly, the same way in Dallas. And Jason Garrett wanted total control of certain situations. And there may be, again, he may be onto something. He may not know how to relate, you know. But but when you're a head coach, that's one of the intangibles that you need to have, is to understand the different personalities and complexities of athletes and players on that team.
Hey,
you can't treat everybody the same way.
No doubt. Hey, T.O., we only got about a minute to go, but they brought out that list of the NFL top 100 players. I don't know how you and Aaron Rodgers aren't on that list. Tell me, I mean, seriously, give it to me as quickly as you can, all right? Like, you saw the list.
Those guys comprised of and compiled of guys like Dan Fouts, Tony Dungy, Bill Polian, Joe Horgan, who is the executive at the Pro Football Hall of Fame. All those guys are a joke. They are a complete joke. And the reason I guarantee the reason that I'm not on there is because Joe Horgan, who's the one that's over the Pro Football Hall of Fame, he basically just tried to stick it to me because I didn't come to the Hall of Fame there. But there's no reason why I shouldn't have been on that top 10 list of all 100 receivers.
Right.
When you think about the top 10 receivers, it should have started with myself, Jerry, and Randy Moss, and you can add this, your other seven after that. Even Drew Brees, when you talk about top quarterbacks, this guy is not even on there either.
Right.
When you talk about other quarterbacks.
Aaron Rodgers, not on the list.
Right. Exactly. Steve Young. Dude, come on. John Elway? Dude, get out of here. John Elway? Stop it.
Elway was a good quarterback.
It's amazing. So
you saying he's better than Steve Young?
That's a close one. I have no problem with Elway not being on there.
I have a problem of Aaron Rodgers. He has the best.
I think Rodgers and Brees should have been on there. Part of it, T.O., and you. This was the case with the receivers too.
But T.O.,
put a lot of these older guys that people, you know, just have no clue what these guys
were doing. But T.O.'s numbers speak for himself. I'm serious.
Right? No, I know
your numbers.
Bro, it's no disrespect to a couple of those guys: Don Hutson, Elroy Hurst. I don't even know these guys, to be honest, bro.
That's the truth.
But my stats doubled Elroy Hirsch's. If he didn't play the number of years that I played, then that just shows you he's not the type of he's not the quality and caliber of receiver that I am. So why is he on the list?
No doubt. All right, we got to run. Sorry,
T.O. Great stuff, T.O.
Hey, we want
always.
You in the all studio right, in the new year, man. Come in one day and hang out with us for a couple hours.
Yeah. Anytime. Right. Thank you.
All right, brother. Happy New Year.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
But we talked about it with T.O. a bit, Rob. We talked about the top, you know, the NFL Network, NFL.com. They put out the list to celebrate the 100th year of the NFL. They put out a list of the top 100 players of all time. They did essentially 10 per position. You know, obviously it couldn't be 10 exactly with every position, but many of the key positions, receiver, quarterback, running back, defensive back, it was 10. And so, in fact, Rod Woodson is one of the defensive backs on that list and well-deserving, too.
No doubt about it. One of the best who ever did it. No doubt.
No question.
But when you got a league and it's 100 years spent, I get it. Some people are going to be left off.
It's tough because we're looking at these people like Sammy Baugh, quarterbacks. Sammy Baugh, Johnny Unitas. Who was the Otto Graham? Three older ones, and particularly Sammy Baugh. I grew up hearing. I didn't see him play, but I grew up hearing about Otto Graham and Johnny Unitas, and you know they were legends that had played, you know, before my time.
Right.
Sammy Ball, you heard of, but he was even before them, I believe. So I don't know as much about him. But, you know, look, you got to give those guys their respect, because what if, like, for the next 100, say 100 years from now, the next team is picked in, what would that be, 2021-20 or whatever?
Right.
And we'll, they got a Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes on there. You know what I mean? And people are like, who are these dudes? How can you put them on there? You know? So you got to respect the guys that did it early. And here's the other thing.
You know why, Chris? Because by then, quarterbacks would be throwing for 10,000 yards a game.
Right.
You know what I mean? You go like,
the way it's going.
Right.
And I'm glad you brought that up, because you cannot judge by the numbers.
No, the number. Remember, they used to play 12 games. They used to run the ball, Chris.
Yep.
They only threw when they had to. It's a totally different game.
Totally different. And, you know, they used to throw a lot more interceptions. And part of it is these guys, they're dinking and dunking a little more now, you know, than they used to. But guys used to throw a lot more interceptions back in the day, and not that far, that long ago.
Did you know in baseball, in the early days, Chris, if a ball hit the ground and bounced over the fence, it was considered a home run?
Really?
Yes.
If it bounced, so Babe Ruth benefited from that?
Some of those, they would count as home runs if they bounced over the fence.
Wow.
So that's why, you know, when you look.
When did that change?
I forgot exactly when it did, but that's why some of the numbers, like there's the modern era, what they call a modern era, because the rules were different back then.
Right.
So that's why you have to look at all the games differently.
I hope that wasn't a factor in Babe Ruth's home.
I think it was before.
he only had like 450.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that wouldn't be good for the all-timer, right?
No.
But you see what I'm saying? I'm just making a point that rules were different.
Yeah, and yeah, you just can't look at the stats. It's like looking at three-point shooting in the NBA today.
Right.
And saying Jordan couldn't shoot three. Well, they didn't try. Larry Bird's one of the best, hands down, one of the greatest shooters ever.
And if he was playing now and the three was legit and everybody was all about it, don't tell me he wouldn't be able to knock them down.
No question. So let me give you the list of the top 10 quarterbacks, and then you can give me a response. Joe Montana, this is not in any order, it's just how they're listed here. Joe Montana, Tom Brady, Johnny Unitas, Otto Graham, Sammy Baugh, John Elway, Peyton Manning, Roger Staubach, Brett Favre, Dan Marino, and that's it, right?
I could easily take Brett Favre, who is the all-time interception leader. He won one title. And I could take Dan Marino out. I could take both of those guys out if push came to shove. I know Dan Marino. People have to have this fascination with Dan Marino. I get it, Chris, when he threw for 5,000 yards. They didn't throw like that. So I get that.
Yeah.
But I don't know how. If Aaron Rodgers didn't have a championship, Chris, I wouldn't fight you on it. But because he won a championship, two-time NFL MVP, and he has and you can look it up. I'm not stroking Aaron Rodgers, okay? He has the best.
Well, you are.
No, I'm not. He has the best quarterback rating in the history of the NFL and the best touchdown to interception ratio of anybody who's ever played quarterback. I don't know how that doesn't get you on that list. And Brett Favre does. Seriously.
Yeah, I am with. I have thought for, I don't know how long now, maybe 6 years, 7 years. Maybe it was when. I don't think it was right when Rodgers won his first Super Bowl. But I've thought for a while now that Rodgers is better than Favre.
No doubt, Chris.
I'm with you. You know, like how I mean, nothing against Brett Favre.
Brett Favre has more of a mystique. Like
yes.
It's
like
this whole,
a cowboy mystique or something.
And I get it. And he was exciting, Chris. He threw a lot of bad picks. How many playoff games did he end by throwing a bad pick? His last one against with the Vikings, you remember that? Throwing across the field, across his body, and they lost.
Yep, no doubt. I would definitely put Rodgers. That's a stunner.
That's the one.
That Aaron Rodgers is not on there above. I'm with you. I mean, you people that listen to the show, Rob, they know we don't always agree on stuff.
Right.
But I am with you, and it was hard. It was almost like you're going against, I don't even want to say conventional wisdom, but some type of Like, the legacy of Marino is tremendous, as it should be. But you're right. When I look at the two, I'm not even going to deal with the old guys because right. I don't want to disrespect the Sammy
Right,
Balls
and we didn't see them play, exactly. So it would be hard for
And they
for
did
us.
It in their era. They were dominant and all yep. that. But Marino, now, he had a great career without question.
He went to the Super Bowl his second year, Chris.
Yeah.
But that was it. And you
Well, and we talk about the 5,000 yards. That was his second year. The right. 48 touchdowns, his second year. He was lights out. His first, like, 6 years.
Unbelievable.
He was on the moon. Like, nobody could compare. He four of those years, he led the league in yardage. Three of them, he led them in touchdowns. 48, 30, 44 touchdowns his second, third, and fourth year. I mean, that was unheard of back then. So I get it. But, Rob, after that, he only led the league in passing yardage five times total. So a lot of his great work was done early in his career. The second half of his career, he led the league in passing one time. He didn't lead the league in touchdowns after his fourth season. And I'm just saying, Drew Brees, that's the guy I'm looking at. Because he's the all-time leader in yards now, and he's the all-time leader in touchdowns, and he's got a Super Bowl. So right. And when you look at the numbers, he has led the league, and this is a good way you can compare numbers. You can't just do a flat numbers comparison, but he's led the league in passing yardage seven times. He's led the league in touchdowns four times. Like, he's led the league in more categories, especially completion percentage, than Marino did.
Right.
And so I would look at that and say, I mean, how you leave the all-time leader in yards and touchdowns off? So I would probably put Drew Brees ahead of Marino.
See, that's what I'm saying.
Was he a better quarterback? I'm just saying he's more accomplished.
I agree, and that's what it should be about when you talk about that. I just don't understand, like, and we both said it. Favre should come off for Aaron Rodgers.
No doubt.
And Marino should come off for Drew Brees. Those are my two, and I'm good.
Now, T.O. brought up an interesting point. Because Elway's kind of like Favre. But, you know, he didn't have the intercept. You know, he was more stable than Favre. But, I mean, as far as his mystique, you know what I mean? But you look at his numbers compared to Steve Young's, and they played in the same era. Young's are better. Young's are far better.
Right.
I mean, it's not even that close. I always thought of Elway as a better quarterback, but heck, and Young won three Super Bowls.
Right.
Three. Wow. So you could argue, and even both of them were known as runners, but Young ran for more yards in really fewer seasons because, you know, he had the early in his career, he's behind Montana and – you know, all that in the USFL.
He played in the USFL. I came to a game out in L.A. at the Coliseum. What were they? The L.A. Express, I think, was
yep,
the name of their
I
team.
I think that was it.
Yep. I went to a game. I saw Steve Young.
Yeah. And so, but his numbers rushing as well were better than Elway's. It just feels like Elway was better.
Well, because he won those last two Super Bowls, and remember, Denver was really good, and they went to a lot of Super Bowls. They used to get blown
they got
out,
blasted.
Right,
some of the worst Super Bowls we've ever seen.
You remember that?
Dallas would destroy them.
Who was it? Was it the Giants that beat them or whatever? I think Elway threw the first pass of the game for a touchdown, and I think. I wanted to say it was the Giants. Maybe it was the Cowboys. And then the Cowboys.
I think it was
the Cowboys. Yeah, I think you're right. But anyway.
Leon Lett.
Yeah, yep.
You know. But yeah, it's it's tough. Like you said, a lot of great players are going to be left off the list. And it's very tough to come up with it. But I just don't see how you leave Brees off. Now, apparently the list was picked in 2018, I believe. Rob G, correct me if I'm wrong. So Brees was not yet the leader in passing yards and touchdowns and all that, but he was, you could see he was on his way.
to at least challenging those.
Yeah,
records.
But I don't believe in that. If it's 2018, then shame on you, because it should be the most updated information if you're going to put that list
out, if possible, right? Right. And I get it. Breeze doesn't have the mystique of a lot of the guys we mentioned.
No. Nope.
Certainly not Marino. And it's hard to take Marino off.
Everybody, there's a thing about Marino. They love Marino.
Yeah. And I get it. 5,000 yards in that day and age, 48 touchdowns. I mean, that was unheard of. But again, if you look at his career, after those first 6 or 7 years, he wasn't otherworldly. He was still very good, but it wasn't like his numbers were, you know, on a whole nother level than everybody, all the other great quarterbacks at that time.
100%. All right, I'm just curious of where people are on this list.
This should be good. I got no beef with Staubach. I mean, I was a Bradshaw fan, but I know, I mean, he had 4 Super Bowls. You could certainly argue him, but he was not as good as Staubach.
He wasn't as prolific. He really wasn't.
He had the big moments and the big Super Bowls. I mean, Lynn Swann was my favorite receiver, but I know at that, you know, he just wasn't. He barely got in the Hall of Fame. I'm glad he did. I thought he deserved it, but some of the best catches we've ever seen.
But he barely got in.
Right.